Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. How many of you glad you're in church here tonight? Happy Valley, what a privilege it is once again to come into the house of the Lord. And I know Brother Jewel Forney blessed your heart here over the weekend, and we're just thankful that the Lord has let us be together once again this side of eternity. Isn't it good to know the Lord tonight? Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, give them a big smile. Tell them you're glad to see them in the house of God tonight. Amen. God bless you. Good to see you, buddy. Good to see you. Hallelujah. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to me. Let's look at our prayer request tonight. If you don't care to stand with me just for a few minutes, I want to remember Becky Nidifer in prayer, having a very hard time getting over an infection in her lungs due to being exposed to black mold. So we certainly want to pray for that need tonight. Brother Byron Palmer sends this in for Sister Pauline Palmer for pain in her back and legs. So we certainly want to pray for her that the Lord would just touch her. Brother Gene and Sister Janet Lehman, they want to thank everyone for their prayers, cards, phone calls while we were ill. So we're glad to see those folks back in the service tonight. God bless you. Praise the Lord. I understand that Sister Janet is still just a little bit weak, but she's letting the devil know whose side she's on tonight. She's here in the service. So praise the Lord. Prayer request for my little niece, Emily, who has a growing problem. Also, special request for my sister, Janie, and husband. Sister Janet Payne sends that in. This is from Brother Ron Gilliam, Associate Minister at Brother Ronnie Cobb's Assembly in Hagerstown, Indiana. Please pray for our youngest daughter, Kim, and grandchildren. She is being told by her husband that she and children and the children cannot attend church or he will divorce her. He is threatening to take the children and move into another state. He has also refused to allow my wife and I to see her or our five grandchildren for several months. The situation is very bad. She is very young in the Lord and she is afraid to do anything for fear of him taking the children and relocating and retaliating in other ways. So we just want to commit that need unto the Lord tonight. We know that God is more than able to. He can fix it, Katie. Somebody say God can fix it. I want to pray for Brother Scotty Babb tonight. Flu-like symptoms. Let's pray for our brother. Sister Baker, Brother Baker, they want to offer this testimony. Sister Baker had an unspoken prayer request. The Lord came on the scene and worked everything out, so they want to praise God for that. So thank the Lord. Sister Barron says she'll be traveling on Friday, going to Michigan over the weekend to be with her son. Please pray for traveling mercy and protection as he journeys there. So let's remember those needs tonight. And we requested prayer here a couple of times for a young man in Bristol, Mark Weaver. He passed away yesterday morning, 38 years old, of a heart attack, and left a wife and two small children. So if you would remember those folks tonight as we pray that the Lord would just comfort them and be a God that will speak peace to their heart. We'll remember Sister Gail Clark in prayer. She's had some minor surgeries on yesterday, feeling very badly. So we want to remember that situation in her life. We want to remember Brother Jerry Phillips. He has the flu, feeling really bad. So let's pray for that need tonight. Brother Amos Cutts sends this in, a praise report. On my recent trip to South Africa, Brother Al Ray Robertson and myself prayed for a woman who was diagnosed with liver cancer and was feeling the effects of it, as well as a frequent severe headache. Last report is that since then, she has begun to feel better. Also, while listening to a sermon of Brother Branham's, she had a strange feeling in her head which came suddenly. From that time, she has had no more headaches. She and her husband are beginning to receive the word of the Lord. So praise God for that tonight. Amen. So we just want to praise the Lord. Certainly want to continue to remember Sister Natalie Yance in prayer, that the Lord would just be gracious and merciful unto her. That I know she's going through a lot right now, but we just commit her unto the Lord. We know that He can work it out in a perfect way. We'd do all sorts of things if it was up to us, but God knows what He's doing. You believe that with all your heart? You have an unspoken prayer request tonight? Something you'd like for this assembly to pray about? Let's sing that chorus together one more time. How great is our God? How great is our Lord Jesus Christ? We cannot begin to imagine the greatness, the vastness of our great Savior, the Lord Jesus. He is so great that He could save somebody like me. And save somebody like you. That takes a great person to do that. Give Him one more big hand clap of praise if you love Him tonight. Hallelujah. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art. Oh, how great thou. Tonight, pray over these prayer requests. Let's invite the presence of our Lord into this service tonight. I believe He's going to give us a wonderful time here tonight. Don't you? Amen. Brother Byron, God bless you tonight. You lead us to the Lord, brother. God bless you.
Let's pray together. Almighty God, we come tonight. We're thankful, Lord, that we have an opportunity to once again to come to feast upon the riches of your precious word. Lord, as we come, we ask for forgiveness of any sin or anything in our life that would be displeasing to you, O God. We lay it on the altar, Lord. We've come. We need you. O God, just give us a visitation of your spirit tonight, Lord. Now as we come, we bear petitions that have gone out before us. Lord, we know that if we had it in our power to do anything for them, Lord, those that need healing, we would do it. But we do know one that can do it. We know you, Lord, and we've seen you in your power. We know, oh God, you answer prayer. Lord, I've had people tell me before, one man told me, he said he thought the healing was for the disciples. I told him it was too late. I've done him heal too many times. Lord, and I've seen you answer prayer too many times. Oh God, and we just come holding these petitions in my hand, Lord. I place them in your hands, oh God, praying that you would hear each one, oh precious Lamb of God. And may your perfect will be done in each of these situations. Now as we enter the further part of the service, the breaking forth of the word of God, the bread of life to us, Lord, just help us that we might be able to receive it, oh God, and that we might live it. Anoint our brothers, he ministers the word, oh Lord. Anoint our hearts, oh God, we pray. We commit these needs to you. We commit ourselves to you. In the name of our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Byron. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting tonight with us in this service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. I'm going to let you be seated just for a few minutes if you want to. Make two or three announcements. And then we'll sing some songs tonight. The church's high school graduates will receive their Bibles this coming Sunday on May the 27th. Now, if you're unable to attend on this date, you may pick your Bible up in the library at a later date. So remember that. They're going to be doing that, the Lord willing, on Sunday morning. You'll receive your Bible if you're a high school graduate. So remember that. Now, I spoke with one of the deacons, maybe he's a trustee today. It's somebody important. I don't know if he's a deacon or a trustee, but he was a pretty important guy. And asked me to make this announcement. You know, we've got a ladder back here on the back of the church. It's a fire escape ladder. You know where, y'all know where it's at? Good. You won't be on it then. But we've got some kids that love to climb that ladder, and they love to get on the roof of this church. And they love to go to the highest point of this church. I don't know where that would be. Probably back in here somewhere, up in here, and look over. Now, youngins, if you think that's going to get you closer to the Lord, it might do it. It might do it. They've asked me to make this announcement. Stay off the ladder. Stay off the roof. Unless you're doing a roofing job up there, you got no business on the roof. Children, stay off of the roof. How many is going to say, I'll stay off the roof? All right. The rest of you, be careful if you get up there. But we do need for you to stay off the roof. Stay off the ladder. Little children got no business going up there. And somebody's liable to get hurt. If you fall off into this parking lot, it'd be bad. So please remember that, okay? Graduates, get your Bibles on a Sunday morning. And let's sing a song now. Let's see if we can get back into the spirit of worship. I do know this. As long as we're in this old world, I want to hold a God's unchanging hand. Don't you? And I want him to hold me with everything that he will. Just hold on to me, Lord. Time is filled with swift transition. Oh, naught of earth unmoved can't stay. Oh, of things eternal, we're gonna hold to God's unchanging hand. Well, we're gonna hold to God's unchanging hand. Oh, sing it now. Yes, we're gonna hold to God's unchanging hand. Of things eternal, we're gonna hold to God's unchanging hand. Now trust in Him who will not leave you. Oh, whatsoever years may forsaken, still more closely to Him cling. We're gonna hold to God's unchanging hand. Well, we're gonna hold to God's unchanging hand. We're gonna hold to God's unchanging hand. Now covet not this world's vain riches that so rapidly decay. Treasures, for they will never pass away. We're gonna hold to God's unchanging hand. Yes, we're gonna hold to God's unchanging hand. Things eternal, and let's hold to God's unchanging hand. Now when your journey is completed, hold in to God you have been true. Enraptured, so will you. We're gonna hold to God's unchanging hand. Yes, we're gonna hold to God's unchanging hand. We'll give your hopes of things eternal. Hallelujah. I believe it tonight, don't you? Let's sing the little chorus just before Sister Winters gets ready to come and give us a song tonight. She's here, I think, somewhere. Is that right? Where is she? There she is right there. If you want to come onto the platform, you're getting ready to sing. Let's sing this chorus tonight. It's Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. We'll tell you a little story right quick while she's getting ready that I read. There was a boy in the army that was, Brother Terry, he was a devout Christian, loved the Lord with everything that he had. And he received a lot of criticism, a lot of fun making from the guys that was over him, from the other soldiers that he was in their barracks with. Always made fun of him. And they thought that one day they'd get out and they'd make a little fun of him. So there was a Jeep sitting over to the side there. And the commander said, son, I want you to get in that Jeep, take it right around over in the corner, and I want you to park it. And that soldier said, sir, I can't drive. He said, well, ask God to assist you. you believe in him so strong. Just ask God to assist you. So the boy goes over, gets in the Jeep, takes it and parks it perfectly, just in the way that it should have been parked. Gets out of the Jeep, comes back around. There's city's commander, all these buddies, big old tears running down their face. He said, what's the matter? What have I done now? His commander went over and raised the hood on that Jeep. Brother Terry didn't have a motor in it. God will take up for you if you'll stand for him. You believe him with all your heart? Is his amazing grace real to you? Let's stand. Let's sing it with all of our heart. It's amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, oh, but now I see. Give him a big hand of praise if you love him tonight. Yes, it's amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Oh, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost. Oh, God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Sister Winters, God bless you as you sing for us at this time.
How can I truly care My efforts have no meaning if your presence isn't there. But you'll provide the power if I take time to pray. So I'll just stay right here by you, Lord, so you'll never have to say, I miss my time with you, our moments together. I need to be with you each day. And it hurts me when you say you're just too busy, busy trying to serve me. But how can you serve me when your spirit's empty? There's a longing in my heart, wanting more than just a part of you. It's true, I miss my time with you. My time with you, our moments together. I need to be with you each day. And it hurts me when you say you're too busy, busy trying to serve me. But how can you serve me when your spirit's empty? There's a longing in my heart, wanting more than just a part of you. It's true, my child, it's true. I miss my time with you.
Amen. Let's stand tonight. Appreciate our song. Time to go into the service. I know you're glad to have your pastor back home. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Let's sing that. It's Jesus I Really Want to See, just before Brother Donnie comes tonight. It's Jesus I really want to see. Yes, it's Jesus I really want to see. Oh, the more I see of this whole world, the less it means to me. And it's Jesus I really want to see.
Tonight to be able to see more and more of Him through His Word until one day it'll unfold till we can see that lovely person. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to, if you would, tonight to the book of Matthew, chapter 24. The youth banquet, I'm sure Brother Louis has announced, it'll be this Friday night. For any of you youth that had songs that you wanted to sing or specials or whatever, if you'll let me or Brother West know, I'll probably be leading that service whenever we have the service here. And also, I heard Brother Louis make mention about the Bibles on Sunday. But I think Brother Tim Burdett and maybe his family or a portion of his church is probably going to be with us this weekend. So if they do, they may take the singing for us. So I think instead of trying to do the Bibles on this Sunday, we might wait and do that maybe next Sunday, because I think there's about 12 or something like that. So let's turn, if you would, to verse 44 of Matthew chapter 24. But I'd like to read verses 44 through 47. And I'd like to speak to you tonight on being prepared for His coming. Being prepared for His coming. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now, what a peculiar statement that Jesus is going to make after telling them to be ready. And telling them that the coming of the Lord would happen in such a sudden way that humanly you would never know when it was. Notice this. He says, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? What in the world has that got to do with the coming of the Lord? What correlation, what association would that have to do? Everything. Everything. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. So the coming of the Lord is associated with stewards, with people, with positions, and with feeding. With feeding. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight for your precious word. How we love it. We appreciate it. We thank you, dear God, that we have again the privilege that we could come together tonight to be able to hear from your heart. I pray tonight, Lord God, that you'd help me to be able to get out of the way. Help me to be able to speak that which was beneficial for this night, Lord. May you direct us, guide us, shut my mouth to anything that would be displeasing to you. Open our ears, our hearts together as we sit at the table of God. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Saints, you may be seated. Being prepared for His coming. We know that He's a great King. The approach, excuse me, to any king would have to be one of reverence, honor, knowing the nature of that king, what his demeanor would be, how he would like you to look a certain way, dress a certain way. He may not like presence of this nature or that nature or that nature, so you would want to, by those who knew him, to be instructed. So when your approach was made to this king, that the end result of that would be something that would be a favor. Lest you would go into the court of the king, or the presence of the king, and either something you had on, a fragrance that you had about you, a certain way that you either shook his hand or you broke protocol, and that certain thing would just set you at ill in the eyes of the king. So Jesus himself does not want any of his bride, his elected, to have the wrong fragrance, to have the wrong approach, to say the wrong things, to look the wrong way, or even to believe something about him or themselves that would be of a reproach. For you see, it's not just important that you would approach a king in honor of his office, but what you think about yourself and how you approach him could very much relate either good or evil towards you by your own approach. So knowing about him, how he is, how he thinks, what he wants, it's very important. But then knowing about yourself. And you know that the human heart can be a very deceitful thing. Now, many, many people think they are humble. They think they approach things in a humble way. Yet everybody except for them knows they don't. How do you tell them? Good luck. If you can figure it out, please see me in my office after church. Because there's something about it. Now, you know, I'm not talking about down the road tonight. I'm talking about right here, all of us that are here. There's things about each of us that if people would tell us the way that we come across, we probably wouldn't believe them. Because we may not mean it that way, or our actions are different from the way that we projected from our heart, and it can be read totally different, and we would deny it vehemently. But yet other people are able to see it or pick it up, or by the way we misrepresent it, that's the way it looks. So whenever we approach our king for the readiness of the hour that's laying before us, we truly want to be able to know him, his character, his way. What does he want of me? What does he want of me? Because when it's all said and done, what I'm worth as far as money, what you're worth is money, what you have, what you own, things like that that we spend so much time on, when it really comes right down to it, none of those things even matter to God. Amen. Whether you ain't got one dime to your name or you got so much money you don't even know what you're worth. That ain't what gets God's attention. If you wear the very best clothes and you only go to the mall and boy, you go here and there, or if you go down to Goodwill and buy yours, it don't really make no difference to the Lord. Whether you eat T-bone and ribeye, and if you don't even know what that is, you eat the other end of the hog or the cow. You don't even know. You're so low down on the foot, that's the only thing you know. But yet, does that one make a difference to God? It don't make one bit of difference to God. But yet to know then that a person knowing their own heart and being able to see a true mirror reflection, not through the vain deceit of human senses, but looking and being able to really see ourselves through the eyes of the Word. Now, you may think that's very simple. That's one of the hardest things you and I will ever do in our life, is to be able to really see ourselves through the eyes of the Word. You see, the Laodicean church was the very worst of all the churches for that. Now, they think they're rich, increase with goods, have need of nothing. That's the way they see themselves. But Jesus said that you're wretched, you're naked, you're poor, you're blind, and you're miserable. And the sad thing about it is you don't even know it. Now, you realize that even though that our souls, of those that have had the Holy Ghost, we moved into the bride age, yet in time we're still in the Laodicean age. And because of that, people around the message, our own church, our own, every one of us, our own part, we can fight that very thing. That we can actually be one way, but yet really the way God looks at us and say, can't you see yourself? Can't you really see the way you truly are? But yet, what we want is not to be able to put on a front, not to put on something to where people think we're really something. But what we want is to be able to put on that which is within. So it's not something that we're acting, something that we're not. But we put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. So we're not interested in being actors. We're not interested in being hypocrites, that we act humble, that we act this, we act that. We just want to be it.
We just want to be humble. We want to be forgiving. We want to be sincere. I don't want to act sincere. I want to be sincere. I don't want to act humble. I don't want to act like a Christian. I want to be one. I want to be humble. I want to be a Christian. I want to be genuine. I want to be sincere. I'm not Hollywood. I'm not a star. I want to be a real, genuine person. And I know I'm not the only one here tonight that wants it. I believe most of you want the exact same thing. But now, whenever we come to approaching a king, and now here's the king himself, and he's dropping now these things that are going to be preaching those for thousands of years after he leaves the earth. So he's going to give not what the church said, not what the bishop said, not what, you know, what other people said, but he's going to leave a guideline himself, since this is the king. He would know truly what he would want. And he would know the divine protocol, if you will, of what it would be to be able to speak to him. Brother Ben said whenever he went before a king, they cut the cuffs out of his trousers. And they told him never to turn his back on him, but to walk out. You know, that way. So it's fine. That's no problem. So Baron von Blumberg had him an interview with the Pope, and he said, well, what do I got to do before this guy? He said, well, you got to bow down on one knee and kiss his finger. He said, that's out. He said, I'll call any man a brother that wants to be a brother. I'll call him doctor, whatever he wants to be. But to worship a man, that goes to Jesus Christ only. Praise the Lord. But he said he went through the Vatican and went through all that. Now, Brother Branham would not do their protocol. And because he would not do it, they would not allow him an interview. I hope and pray that you and I will do the same thing. So, but there is an approach. So here is the king himself, and he's giving us the way of divine protocol by which the bride will be prepared in order to make this approach, this approach which will be receivable. Now, many a person could approach a king, a monarch, a potentate, people of great people, you know, that you would not know. This is not our everyday doing, so we would have to be schooled. How would I approach a governor? How would I approach a president? I'd never have talked to one. I wouldn't know how to do it. I would want to talk to somebody who said, what do you do if you go before President Obama? I mean, how would you do it? How would you talk? What would you do? And tell me how to do it. He'll know before long. I'm an idiot anyway, but I'd like to be a polished up idiot if I could. You know, you want to do the very best you can. So if I'm going to approach the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Most High, the Almighty, El Shaddai, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, all of these great things that he is, I want to know what to do. And I want to know how to approach him, and not what you say, not what people of the message say, but I want to know what he said himself. You follow me? Now watch. Now let's tie this together. Now look again in verse 44. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant? So now here, this is tied into the preparation of the coming of the Lord. That's strange, I know. But you think, what in the world would that have to do with it? Now this is the king himself, and he's setting forth what is needful and necessary in order to meet the divine protocol for those who will be in the rapture with a readiness. Now watch this, he says, who then is a faithful and wise servant? So Jesus puts this in the form of a question. Now notice how he does this. He does not say at first, well, this is the affirmative, positive way. You're annoying by this, this, this. But he asks it in the form of a question. Who then is the faithful and wise servant or a steward? So he asks the question, and now he's going to answer the question so they will know that it is correct. Now look at this word. Who is a faithful and wise servant? The word faithful is pistos, which is, excuse me, trusty, faithful person showing himself faithful in transaction of business and executing commands. Now, who is a faithful and wise servant? Now, remember the Lord Jesus himself asking this question. Who is this faithful and wise servant? Now, notice he doesn't say that he's a preach like a fireball. Man, I'll tell you what, he combs his hair in a certain way. He dresses a certain way. That's not the way we know a real shepherd. Now remember, this is part of preparation for the coming of the Lord. This is why every person in this message that don't believe in God called ministry, not a one of them will be in the rapture. Totally impossible. Those who think tapes are sufficient, they're under Antichrist anointing. You say, how can you say that? It's very easy. It's contrary to the teaching of Christ himself. So anything that's contrary to the teaching of Christ is anti-Christ. Very simple. Now watch. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has made ruler over his household? Now remember, this has to do with the coming of the Lord Jesus, showing us that Jesus is setting up now a new order. So it's not now a Levitical order, which was a Levitical priesthood, which was handed down from father to son to son to son to son to son. So if you were born in the Levitical family, then automatically you was a priest. Now you was going there in case you've had a damage in your body, a birth defect or something like that, then automatically you was a Reagan would say, or a Cohen, which is what they were. Then if you was an Orndorff or a Babb or whatever, I mean, if that would have been the chosen family, automatically you was in the line of priests. But when it comes to the New Testament, it does not run by family lineage. It does not run by bloodstream. It runs by call. God may call one out of a family, and he may never call another out of that family for hundreds of generations. It does not run, well, I'm a preacher, and then if I had a son, he'd be a preacher, and he'd be a preacher. Now, God can do that if he wants to, but that's not the way that the New Testament has picked it out, that it's going to be that way. It can be. A father can be a preacher and a son. But many times, I'm afraid that many people get it in their mind, well, daddy was, so I've got to be, and then I've got to be. Friend, a church is not a family run business. A church is not a family. This message is not supposed to be a family run business. It's supposed to be run by the Spirit of God. Right. Now watch. Then Jesus said, who is this faithful and wise servant? So the word servant there is actually a steward. Now this is very strange to us today because we don't think this way. But to the people there that would have been listening to Jesus, it would have been a very common understanding, because this was the common practice among the folks that had a pretty good standard in that time. Now notice he says, who is then a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has made ruler over his household? Now the word ruler there is ordained to set in place, or to set one thing over in charge of, to appoint to one to administer an office. Now remember, we're talking about the divine approach to the protocol of the coming of the Lord. So if we want to be ready for the coming of the Lord, we've got to come under God's way, or we will miss it. It's not, well, I think I can be ready by doing this. You don't have no say on that. I don't have no say on that. The schools of theology don't have a say. It was the say of the King. He ought to know more than you and I should know. Since it is him that we are approaching, then we should come back and ask him. Now remember, we don't want to take this quote and that quote and this quote and make them say something contrary to what our Lord Jesus said. Said himself. Oh, glory. I realize for most message folks, they could pretty much throw their Bible away. They don't use it nohow. Even a lot of preachers don't use it. They just use it to take a text from. This message did not come to replace our Bibles. It did not come to replace the doctrine that was laid down by the apostles themselves. It would be contrary to God's own nature to come back and Brother Branham preach it for years and years and years. Malachi 4 is to turn our hearts back to the original faith, and then once he does and we annihilate our Bibles and throw them away, that's a bunch of nonsense. Well, glory. Now watch then, the coming of the Lord, this will be the cycle that Jesus shows that when he comes, there will still be stewards over the household of God. That it will not come to a time that all of a sudden the ministry will cease and there'll be no ministry from this point on. That the people just be listening to tapes or staying home or doing whatever. So he's setting out the very type of how it will be when he comes, and those that are ready, this is the way they will be ready. According to Jesus himself. Now, what's in? So he places this man, this servant, to be a ruler over his household. Now, the common way that this was done in this time was actually the steward was a slave himself. For the most part, the steward was never a free man. He was not a man that had a great long resume. He was not so much a businessman. He was not a man that was put on a salary. A great man, a CEO of this company or whatever more. He was a slave himself. Now hold to that thought. It's very important. Many preachers in this message are CEOs of churches. They're not really slaves. They're not bond slaves. They know every political move. They know how to preach things. They know how to say things. They know how to stay out of trouble. They know how to say things that make nobody mad. That's the CEO of the church. God wants slaves. God wants bond servants that'll just say what He said. I mean say it and let the hair fly. Right? Now God has a reason for doing this. Now remember, this slave, would you say in a household, in your household, you had 15 slaves, 10 slaves, whatever it was, and this one man has proved to be faithful, he's proved to be a man that you could give a charge like this. Now actually this man, even though he is a slave, he's put over the meals of your children. He's put over the finance of your home. And your boy don't go to the cookie jar when he wants. He goes through that slave first. Now, it's important now that the mentality of this man, that he still maintains this mentality. He is a slave. He's not a lord. He's not a dictator. Well, y'all going to preach with me or look at me? Come on now, amen. I'm preaching on me tonight. I ain't preaching on you unless you're a preacher, so come on, scream, holler, amen. Preach on Brother Donnie, Brother Donnie. Lay it on him. Let him have it. Praise the Lord. So this is how Jesus, now in Matthew 24, isn't it strange that you don't hear this talked about very much around the message? We hear Matthew 24 talked about all the time, the coming of the Lord. How come this is not dealt with? Now, watch this. The believers are the household of God. Then this slave servant, bond servant, is picked out from among them. He's not greater. It's not that this man is going to be worshipped and idolized. This man is a slave, a servant. Glory. But he's put in charge. Now he's not a dictator, he's not a president, he's not a governor, anything like that. But he's given authority, but his authority does not elevate him above his slave circumstance. Did you see, friends, why preachers leave the word and why they do this and that and the other? They leave this mentality, I am no longer a slave. I'm in charge here. I'm this, I'm that, the other one. A preacher heads that way, he's on his way down. Not just a preacher, but anybody. Now, watch this. Jesus said, who then is that faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Now, remember the New Testament, of course, has not been written at this time. According to history, the first book of the New Testament that was written, the book of James, and it was actually written around 60 AD. So, many, many years before the people would actually ever be able to read these words, but no doubt the disciples reiterated to them from memory, and they preached them along that Jesus said this and Jesus said that, and Jesus knew one day the words would be written down where people could read them. But he knew once everybody would get a Bible that it would not displace this chosen position of stewards over the household of God. Or Jesus would have put a connection or a clause of expiration that once everybody gets their own Bible, then they will be able to sit down and feed themselves totally, completely, and fully from reading the Word of God, and they will no longer need stewards. But Jesus didn't put an expiration day, a termination day. It'll terminate at the coming of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh my. Now, watch this in St. John chapter 21 verse 15. Peter and the apostles, after the resurrection, the Lord Jesus has now been fishing. And they had a fish fry. on the bank. And Jesus has fed the apostles. And the Bible says here, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now you have to be very careful when you read this. Remember the last time they sat at a meal together. It was called the Last Supper. Simon Peter had made his great boast. I'll stay with you. I don't care what Gene Lehman does. He's sorry anyway. I don't care what Bert does and Junior does and all the rest of them. I ain't got that much confidence in them, no how. But I've got confidence in me, Lord. Glory to God. I'll tell you one thing. Jim Babb will turn his back on you before I will. When hell is blown away, when there ain't no more heavens and no more devil, I'll be standing by your side, Jesus. Now notice, Jesus knows how to ask questions on him. It kind of makes me nervous when Jesus goes to ask some questions. I don't mind telling you. Because he's got a point he's going to get over to you. Now watch him. So they've had supper. Man, it's some of the best fish Peter ever ate in his life. He's thinking everything's fine now. He's been restored back. But remember, he denied him three times. So after they finish their supper and Jesus says, Simon Peter. Now watch by what name he speaks to him directly. He doesn't call him the rock. He doesn't call him the rock. But he calls him by his father given name, human given name. Simon! Not son of God, but son of Jonas. Oh my goodness. Lovest thou me more than these? You said you did before I was crucified. You said you loved me more than John and more than Matthew and more than Luke and more. I want to know if you've still got this haughty attitude about yourself. Well, glory. Lovest thou me more than these do? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my lambs. Now watch Peter's response. He doesn't. That boy's cured, sure as the world. He doesn't go to looking at himself and then comparing him to this one and that one and that one and said, they ain't nothing. They ain't even got nothing. But he just comes back and says, you know I love you. And this is Jesus' response to a preacher who says he loves God. You folks follow me? This is Jesus' response to a preacher who says he loves God. Feed my lambs. So his fall has taught him what? Humility. It's a shame that we have to learn through such hard knocks. Most of us, you might not see it on us physically, but most of us are spiritual knotheads. And the reason we are is because we've got knots all over our heads. Very simple, okay? Y'all laugh at me when I say that very old country Kentucky term, but most of you may not know what it is, but you are one. We got spiritual knots all over our head for being so stubborn and so hard-headed. And God will tell us by His Word. But if we won't listen to His Word, then God has another school that all of His kids are enrolled in. Amen. It's called the School of Hard Knocks. And once you graduate from the School of Hard Knocks, then you're enrolled in the School of Experience. And once you graduate from there, then you're enrolled in another and another, and you are going to graduate. Because if you are God's, you may be 1,338 years old and still in K2, but if you're bride, you are going to graduate. Because God has got a plan for your life, and nothing is going to stop it. Now notice how he looks at himself now. No exalted love, no superior something. But he just humbles himself and said, Lord, I'm just one among many. I'm not the only one. I'm not the most perfect. I'm not the most sublime. My ignorance, my stupidity has taught me better than that. But I'll tell you what I am, Lord. I'm one among many. You don't realize it. I just told you one of the greatest things you'll ever hear in your entire life. Watch him. Jesus, don't stop. So he categorizes an age group in the body for Peter to feed. And he calls them lambs. Now the word here, feed, actually, it means nourishment or nutriment for the flock. So Jesus tells Peter, if you love me, feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. Now, one of the greatest evidences, you want to know real men of God, is, oh man, I'll tell you what, this guy, he preached, oh boy, that friend, that's not it. This guy's got such an anointing. Oh, nobody can touch his anointing. That's not it either. One of these days you're going to find out many of the men that you thought was so great, that was so super anointed, if you knew their lives, it'd make you sick at your stomach. It ain't even that. It's a man, let me tell you something, some of the pastors around this message are not the greatest speakers. And if you'll notice, when Jesus says this, he does not say they're the most dynamic and the greatest anointed. Many pastors are not. But their identity is they feed the flock. Amen. They feed the flock, and they feed them the right thing and on time and the proper amount. Amen. And that's what Jesus identifies as a shepherd that loves God. Amen. Oh my. If Jesus judged you all worthy of his blood, you reckon I should judge you worthy of my sweat? If he judged you worthy of dying for you, should not I judge you worth giving my mind, my strength, my youth? I should. Now come on, encourage me to preach on me now. Lay it on him, Brother Donnie. Come on, tell me. Preach on him, Brother Donnie. Lay it on him. Now watch in verse 16. He saith to him again the second time, Simon! You still ain't the rock. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He says unto him, yea, Lord. Thou knowest that I love thee. Now watch what he's appealing to. The sovereignty of God. Not his own strength. You know all things. You know my heart. Now I'm bragging, not in me. I'm telling how great you are. I've seen my frailty. I've seen my littleness. I've seen my weakness. I appeal to your sovereignty, not my strength. Now watch Jesus, how he says it this time. Feed my sheep. Now in verse 15 he says, feed my lambs. And this verse, he says, feed my sheep. I want you to notice, Jesus does not have a ministry that is called to preach only to lambs, and another ministry that is called to preach only to sheep. The same man, Peter, was given the understanding and the administration and the ability to preach to both age groups. Brother West was sharing with me a little while back that he'd read something in a Christian news type thing, and I found it very interesting, so I did find it actually, Brother West, and they had done a study for 50 years actually. Part of it, it went on for 50 years, part of it for 30. And for many of these church, these denominational type people that have what they call youth pastors and all this, that, and other, and they said that they have done this study, prolonged study, and they have proven over and over and over again that for many of them, it's a failure. Because they have divided and separated the youth from the rest of the body. And even one youth pastor that I read about said that he himself looked back and realized that he was more of a detriment than he was a blessing. Because he actually became between the youth and their parents. He came between the youth and their pastor. And almost have like a split going on inside the church. Of the youth ministry and the regular ministry. There's only one pastor of this church. We have no youth pastor because it's not scripture nor message. Now we do things for our young people. We thank God for them and we have services for them and this and that and the other. But let me tell you something. It is antichrist to separate the young people from the older people in this church and to make them believe they have to have their own preaching, their own style of worship when they have their services. Their services should go on the same way as ours go on. Come on. Well, you say, Brother Donnie, I'm sitting beside somebody 75 years old. They might be now, but in 2 seconds from now, you both might be 18. Glory! Amen! Friends, don't you see why Satan wants to do it? Now, right here in the apostolic commission, Jesus said, now, Peter, you can't preach to the young people because you're an old man. You don't understand the youth, the needs of the youth, a shepherd. Don't understand all age categories in his own church. Then it's time to get rid of that shepherd. Now if you don't go along with this, argue with Jesus when you see him. Of course, when you see him at the white throne, I'm not sure you'll be able to argue. If you're going to argue, then that's where you wind up being. Myself, I just want to agree with what he said. Now notice, so Jesus tells Peter, feed our lambs. Then he tells him here, feed my sheep. Now even though it's the same English word, it's a different Greek word that John uses whenever he writes this word feed. The word rendered here in verse 16 for feed is a different word than the word in the previous verse. And it is the sense of governing, caring for, guiding, protecting, the kind of faithful vigilance which a shepherd uses to guide his flock. To make provision for their wants and their dangers. So feeding people, there's more to it than getting up and taking a text and getting 37 pages of quotes and sending them and reading, Brother Bam said this and Brother Bam said that and Brother Bam said that. That's not all there is to being involved in feeding the sheep. Praise the Lord. Well, I've got a little sermon I want to preach and there's more to it than that, friends. It is governing, it's guiding, and it's doing it with the mentality that you are a slave. You are not a dictator. You are not one above them. And they're to idolize you and worship you. That is wrong. Amen. That is Nicolaitanism. Preach, Donnie, I'm with you, son. You're burning me up, but preach, lay with it. So the same man that's going to govern the old folks, you mean he's going to know how to govern the young too, the teenagers, 15, 16? You know how many young people services I attended when I was a young person? None. I give my heart to God at 12 years old. Over in Whitley City, Kentucky, them men had some grounds over there they went to pray on. I went with them. Me, a 14, 15-year-old boy, praying with them men out there, 50, 60, 70 years old. Go out there and stay half a day or stay all day. I didn't have a special little section because I was 15 years old over there. Come on now, don't get quiet on me. Our young people of this church are not necessarily the church of tomorrow. Why will we want to wait till tomorrow? There may not be a year from now. There may not be 6 months from now. I want them to be an active part right now. Right now in this church. Not 50 years down the road. Oh, glory. Well, we feel intimidated. Sure, you're going to feel intimidated. What are you going to do? Wait, us old timers will die, and then you're going to be a part of it. Pray God help you get rid of that intimidation. I feel intimidated when I preach for other preachers. Am I not supposed to preach here because I do? I've been preaching most of my life, and I still feel intimidated in front of preachers. So does that, if that excuses you, then I should be excused. But see, if we get this in our mind, well, we can't do this. No, we're separate. I get in better in my own service. You need to pray that God will deliver you of that. Well, glory, y'all ain't liking this. Who is this? My. Notice this in verse 17. And he saith unto him, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? You imagine, but now Brother Skip, he was really getting scared. I would have been. Because I would have thought in myself, does he see something in me that I don't see? Is this a recurring thing like sitting at the Last Supper? And I honestly thought with all of my heart I would do this and that and the other. And yet he saw something in me that I did not see. I would have been getting very nervous by now. Glory. But he denied with his mouth and by a verbal confession three times. This is not just for Jesus. This is for Peter. Peter must hear Peter say, I love you. Amen. It does you good to hear yourself say what you think about God. You need to talk to yourself sometimes and get yourself straightened out. I mean, you need to set yourself down and lay the law down to yourself. You need to just tell yourself, at least do it once a week, whether you need it or not, and just let yourself know who's the boss, who's in charge, that you're going to take this old body in a rapture, or you're going to raise it in a resurrection. It ain't leading you around. It's not your boss. You believe the word. You'd be surprised what that would do for you. Hallelujah! Oh my. Notice again as he appeals to his omniscience, omnipotence, knowing all things. Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus says unto him, feed my sheep. Oh, you imagine as he brings it up the first time and his mind had a flashback. Wasn't you? I think I've seen you. Your car park up on that hill with them, that idol worshiping church, that Branhamite, Branhamism, whatever that. That's where them women wore them blue jean skirts, ain't it? They dress funny and now I hear that preacher drinks blue Kool-Aid. No, you're wrong. It's Gatorade. But I don't share mine. I need it all myself. Oh, Peter, you imagine as he said, Lord, you know I love you. Then Jesus asked him again in the parallel of the second denial in the courtyard. Oh, I saw you, God. No, not me, buddy. It must be somebody who looks like me. You know, they say everybody's got a twin in the world. It must have been him, not me. I wouldn't be identified with that bunch of stuff, not me. Then you imagine as he comes in the third time, but now Peter's poor heart is about broken too. And Jesus wanted to hear him say it. And Peter needed to hear Peter say it. Lord, you know all things. I'm not appealing on my ability. I'm not appealing on my credibility because right now it's kind of low. My credit score is bad. My reliability is bad. My credibility is bad. As a matter of fact, everything I've got is pretty low right now. But I'm going to appeal to you, Lord. I'm going to appeal to you. You know my heart. Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing that he says, all right, Peter, if you love me, then feed my sheep. Don't just preach to them. Feed them. Govern. Watch. Protect. Sometimes, friends, preaching's the easiest part. My, I'll tell you what, some of these guys want to be a pastor and boy, they think it's this, that, and the other. It's this, that, and the other, all right. Lord have mercy. Acts 20:28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves to all. All. Not 8 to 14, 15 to 21, 22 to... Notice how the apostolic basis of the New Testament church. Friend, don't you see?
That spirit of Antichrist is trying its best to work its way right in this message. And some of you, it's worked its way right into your head in this church. But I want to tell you, it's not scripture. And it's not message. Can somebody tell me where Brother Branham had youth rallies in his church? Praise the Lord. Bring me the quote. Brother Branham preaches in one in Shreveport, 1963. Said his daughter was there to receive the Holy Ghost. So where do we think? No, Brother, are you going to stop seeing us in Louisiana? Then, no, I'm not going to stop seeing you that. But you need to look at it the right way. You go there to get help and get encouraged. And when you come back to church, if you can shout your shoe heels off in Louisiana, I want to know what's the matter with them same shoe heels if they can't shout it half of that. I don't understand, friends. I've got a problem here. No, I'm really honest. I think you do. I don't understand. The Holy Ghost will move on some of you young people and you'll get drunk and dance and shout and carry on down there and you cannot do it here. Y'all, we have a different God here at Happy Valley than we have in Louisiana. We have a different God here than you have at the banquet over here and the banquet over there. What's the matter? Don't you understand? It's that devil. It's that spirit of the Antichrist that's trying to separate in your mind. Oh, I can't wait to youth camp again. I can't wait to the Carolina banquet. Why? What are you waiting for? The Lord Jesus is here every time we have church. He's right here to bless you. He's right here to heal you. He's right here to shout you young people just like he does in Louisiana if you'll let him. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Look at this Greek word. Episcopus. This is where the Episcopal Church got the name for their denomination. Comes from this Greek word. Episcopus. An overseer, a man charged with the duty of seeing that things are to be done by others and are done rightly. Any curator, guardian, or superintendent, the superintendent head, or overseer of any Christian church. Now remember, the Holy Ghost is the one that's to place it, not politics. If anything ever happens to me, surely to goodness, you folks have heard enough preaching of the Word of God to know how to go about getting your pastor that's called of God and preach the Word and not play politics the way so many Methodist churches do. Well, I like this man. I like that man. My Lord, we're not Democrats and Republicans. You're sure to goodness. We ought to be Christians. And we want the best for the assembly. I want Brother Donnie's family. I want so-and-so. We're not taking auction bids here. We're talking about for the betterment of the church. For the betterment of the body. This is the way it's supposed to be run.
Well, glory. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness for the sufferings of Christ, also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre money, but of a ready mind. Now notice, this is what? The mindset of a slave steward. If a preacher gets in his mind money, salary, what I can get out of the church, what I can make out of the church, it totally changes that man from being a slave. He then becomes a dictator. He then becomes, come on children, a man that is a slave and remains a slave will be able to relate the right way. You'll understand, one of the largest slave owners in the state of Tennessee, do you know it was a black man? And you'd think a black man that had been a slave himself would want to liberate every black man. You need to read your history and find out this man, though he had been a slave in a family of slavery, yet once he came into property, into business, he did not think that way. Why? He was elevated above that position. And he looked on his brothers of the same skin color as him and treated them like animals.
beat them and whipped them and everything and treated them just like the white masters did. It's a shame that the white man will treat a black man like that. It's even worse that a black man will treat his own black brothers that way. Don't you understand why preachers are supposed to stay in this place? Oh, what can I do, Brother Donnie, to help you? I'll tell you what you can do. You can pray that God will keep me in my mind, in my heart, in my soul, that I can ever be of that slave mentality. Because if I ever leave it, our church is finished. Now this is strange because a man that's called and placed in this position, he's going to be over the entire church. Now if you notice in this setting, Jesus doesn't mention deacons. Because Jesus never chose deacons in the beginning. Trustees aren't here because it isn't scriptural. We're talking about the minister. Come on, don't get quiet on me now. Don't balk on me. Praise the Lord. Deacons were chosen to wait on tables. Where do the deacons get ideas around this message that they're called to run the church of God? I'd sure like to know where it's at. I'd sure like to know in the Bible, when did they leave from being waiters to being in charge? The deacons were not put to run the church. The deacons were not put to tell the preacher to do this, that, and the other. The deacons were chosen to wait on tables and serve food. Natural food. Well, glory. I might be looking for a job after this night, sir. Praise the Lord. Notice this now. Oh my. Notice the mentality that a true servant of God must not have initially, but must keep the entirety of his ministry. And if he ever loses it, he's finished. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Not as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. Now, you see what can happen then if a man is liberated from being a slave. Sometimes he can be the worst slave master there is. It don't make sense because you'd think he would have mercy. He would think different, but he's changed his position. And his character's not changed to match it. And then he'll pick on them very brothers that he used to complain with. Well, glory. Notice, Jesus says again in Matthew 24:45, who then is that faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season. Now, as we looked at this Wednesday night, of course, meat was everything, not just chicken and ham and beef and all that. It was for sustenance. So the word of God, now of course Jesus speaking here in a parallel, that the stewards of the household of God now are called to give the flock the word of God. And the word is like any other meal. Now I'm no cook, okay? I'm not good boil water, if Carol would follow me through step by step. My breakfast is generally Pop-Tarts. And it's very difficult. I mean, I go in the pantry door, open it up, I reach up here on the top shelf, second on the right. I go in, I pull the box open, I lay it over there, very delicately tear the top on that and let the aroma of them s'mores Pop-Tarts come out. So you can tell I'm a real culinary chef. So I don't know how it would be, but I do know from preparation of watching my mama and watching my wife and watching my daughters that just because you've got meal and flour and this and that and the other, and you might even have a recipe book, but that don't mean it's going to turn out. Now I'll tell you what you can do. Yeah, we'll try this anytime you sisters want to do it. We'll cook the exact same thing. I'll cook it and you cook it. Okay? We'll have the same recipe, the exact same ingredients, and you tell me which one you want to eat. And I'll tell you the same thing about preaching. Woo! Oh, that's good. Man, that's fresh. You've got the same books, the same tapes, the same Bible software, same ability to study that I do. But you know what? I've got a gift there that you don't have. You sisters are gifted to make them beans and taters and maters and whatever more. I'm not called to do it. That's one of the reasons God gave me a wife to be able to fix for me. But you know what? It's the same way with the Word. Sometimes it's got to be cut. Sometimes it's got to be placed here. It's got to be there. It's got to be there. And it's got to be rightly prepared, seasoned right for the season, for the time, for the hour, in order to prepare the people for the coming of the Lord.
Hallelujah. How many wants to be prepared for His coming? Well, if you want to be prepared, you need to pray more for me. If you feel like I'm your pastor. So that I can be in season, be on time, be in sync, be able to preach and give you what you need in order to leave this world in a rush. Does that make sense to you? Man, what? Nobody in your house could cook except your mama. Nobody in your house. Daddy can't cook. Sisters can't cook. The brothers can't cook. Nobody can cook but mama. When mama gets sick, everybody prays. Even those that ain't in good terms with God, they pray. But when your belly goes to growling, you'll do about anything. I don't believe, my friends, I do not believe that you understand the importance of a God called ministry. I'm not saying that you don't see a need of it. But I believe if you understand how vital it is for you to feed on the right season of the Word. Not only for me, but for the other men of God that come through here. I believe when we walk through them doors, we'd come in here with a more of a sincerity. And realize you have a great part to play in how these services go. Not just when I'm preaching, Brother Jewel or these other brothers or other visiting ministers, no matter who it is, that you have something. God, help me. Lord, what do I need tonight? Help me, Lord. Feed me, God. Give me something for the battles that lays before me. Give me something tonight, God, for the rapture.
Amen.
What would it be, friends, if we approached it that way? This is not just to come, well, it's just Wednesday night, it's just Saturday night. But can you imagine this service? This service was something you needed for your body, James. Praise the Lord. How we ought to pray when we come, God, feed me. God, feed me. Anoint that man. Feed me.
Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Let's bow our heads together. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I know that I have failed you so much. Dear God, I pray you to help me. Help me to be true, Lord Jesus. Help me, Lord, that my attitude, my spirit, my heart will always be right. I know probably if there's one of the most complaints that I'll get from here and from around is that people don't ever get to spend enough time with me. When I go out to preach, the pastors there, they hardly ever see me. They go out to eat lunch with me and I'm right back studying again. They won't take me here and there, I can't, brother. I need to go back. And people misunderstand that. They think you're not social. Lord, my main focus is not being social, but feeding. Lord, I pray that you'd help me and help them. Lord God, I desire to feed your children the Word. Carol paid me a very great compliment the other day. After preaching on Enoch, she said, as I sat there and listened at you, Enoch walking with God and being by himself, she said, I thought about you. How you're down there in the basement listening to tapes, praying, studying, writing down for sermons. I thought, what a compliment. Lord, I love to be with you. I love to have fellowship with you. Lord, it ain't just about me having fellowship with you either. It's me being where I can feed and then feed. Help me, Lord Jesus, please. Help every man ever God call man. Maybe there's some that'll hear this. Maybe they're not really even God called. If they're not, give them the grace and the gumption to get out of the pulpit. We have been hindered by so many men that were not even called to preach. And they lead people astray and lead them here and lead them there. Brother Bam said, a man is known when he professes he's to be a preacher or a teacher or whatever. It's known whether he's really one or not if he can do the job. Lord, I pray you'd help us. Lord, then help these lay people. May they have just a little bit further insight tonight to realize how important it is when they come to church to pray for that preacher and to pull on that preacher. Lord God, if they only understood it, they have the ability to pull on a man that may not really be a great preacher, but when they get done with him, they'll preach the far out of it. They have the ability, Lord, and he'll walk out of there thinking, my Lord, my Lord. I didn't even know I could do that. And it wasn't really just him. It was them so desperately pulling for food, nutrients that they needed for strength, for healing, or for whatever it was, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord God, I pray. Grant it, Lord. Lord, I don't cook, so I don't know how a woman must feel, but I've watched Carol, watched Mama, watched different ones that fix food, and how it thrills them to see people eating it. And how heartbreaking it would be if they labor and work and work, and then they come to the table and nobody wants anything. Or they get a little bit and they, I don't like that, I don't like this, I don't like that. How it must break their hearts. These sisters probably have seen that with their kids or whoever more. Must just make them feel really sad. I know how that feels spiritually. When I study and I pray and I come to church and people over here and over there and they don't come to church and some of them sat there and texting and doing this and that and the other. It's heartbreaking. But Lord, help me that I'll not let them few dictate the service. Help me that I'll look over them few and let the others here that's ready to feed. Let them be the ones that will dominate the service, Lord. We love you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, how many loves him with all your heart? Let me read to you again before we go. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler. Now notice, not mama, not daddy, not he went and got a preacher's license or schooling, but his Lord. His Lord made him ruler over his household to give them meat in due season. So the steward is placed over the majority of the allotment. Now your sons and daughters in this house. But this slave is put over when they eat. Y'all have your lunch at 12. You have your breakfast at 8. You'll have your dinner at 6. I'm the master, son. I'll eat when I get ready. As I said, you'll have your breakfast at 8. And the father would stand behind this man's word.
That's right.
So if the boy goes stomping and says, I don't believe in preachers. Then the father says, then you don't believe in me. Because I'm the one doing the preaching through that man. Praise the Lord. My. Listen to this, friends. I won't be preaching no more in heaven. Brother Branham won't, nor the preachers will be preaching. But I will always have this position. It's mine forever. Brother Branham will always have that elevated position. So will the apostles. So will Paul. Come on. Folks in this message think they're going to get away from preachers? No way. If you go to heaven, there's going to be a bunch. And if you go down there, there's going to be a bunch more. No matter where you go, you're surrounded by them. Glory.
Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Children, don't make me witness against you. Please, I beg you. Don't make me stand there as your pastor. And you walk up, miss the rapture, and I have to be called in judgment against you. Said, did anyone tell this woman it was wrong to wear pants? Don't make me have to stand up and say, I did. Did you tell her more than once? She heard me say it for over 20 years. Did anyone tell her it's wrong to cut her hair? I did. Can you imagine how you'll feel as you look at me that day? I'll have to be changed or I couldn't take it. Please, children, don't make me do it. Please, let's rise together. Let's be changed together. Let's feed together. Let's do it in a very simple way. Let's eat ourselves to a body change. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. God bless you. Service this weekend. Let's come expecting the Lord to speak to our hearts. Once again, as I said, Brother Tim Burdett and his family, I think are going to be coming. And I don't think he wanted to preach, but we'll probably have him to sing for us while they're here. So enjoy the service this weekend. Ask the Lord to give me something for you to try to feed you again. Isn't it good to be Christians? Be saved. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer. God bless you, saints. I love you, the Lord. Wonderful.